But don't worry, the morning's almost over. It's a half hour here. I'll try to be honest. Also, take your bulletin. We have a little revelation in the bulletin about the theme for next year, and it's a little play on the year. It's 2020, like Keith was joking about earlier. And our word's going to be vision. Vision. 2020 vision. And they say that that's perfect sight. I guess when your eyes are 20/20. So I would know. But Proverbs 29:18 will be our theme verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And we'll talk more about this next week. Our theme song for the year is going to be I Love to Tell the Story of Jesus and His Love. Our theme chorus is going to be Lay Some Soul Upon My Heart and Love That Soul Through Me. And may I ever do my part to lead that soul to Thee. And in your bulletin, there is a sample of a card. The card will be bigger than this, but at the bottom of your bulletin on the right side, if you have that open, we're also going to be keeping track unanimously. It's no contest or nothing, just to see how we're doing as a church. And we're going to ask people to fill in the boxes with the number of tracts, flyers, booklets, or Bibles they distributed that month. They'll kind of challenge us all to get the gospel tracts out and flyers and booklets and Bibles. The second box is for door hangers left at homes or given to residents. We have those available. People who would want to go door to door can leave them on doorknobs, or they can give them to people if they answer the door, and about information about the church and about the Lord, more importantly. And then maybe even conversations will begin with the gospel. We have a dear lady. She might be getting baptized tonight, and her two daughters, but over at Faith. She was sick this morning, but she's scheduled to be baptized over at Hilltop. And somebody left a door hanger on her door this summer. And she came to church to see what it's about. And her two daughters, one's 22, Angelina, and then Miranda, I think is 20. They both got saved. Mom got saved. And I think they were scheduled to be baptized tonight because of a door hanger. Amen? Because of a door hanger. Never met them. They didn't answer the door. They just stuck it on the door and walked to the next place. So number three, people I shared the gospel with outside of church. And people will get saved as we share the gospel with them. The gospel still works anywhere God's people work it. It'll still save a person's soul. And then the people who accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, there's no place for your name or anything, but the first Sunday of every month, so that would be February 2nd, you will see cards to fill out of how you did in the area of evangelism in January, and we're just going to see how the church does this year, and hopefully we will do more than we've ever done before in getting the gospel out as individuals, and we're going to try to come up with our own church tracts, a nice assortment of other tracts that you will feel comfortable with using and getting out, and we'll be sharing stories of amazing conversions to Christ through gospel tracts and through soul winning. Efforts, and I think I just put my sermon away, so we might be done. All right, I am stuck in the bulletin. All right, there you go. That wasn't smart. And I don't want to leave Christmas yet. So turn to Luke chapter 2, I think I told you that, and we'll have a message here before we go down and eat together. I don't know what we're having, but it sure smells good. And thank you for those of you that participated in bringing food today, and hope you'll enjoy a meal together and in fellowship downstairs. Luke chapter 2. I want to speak this morning just on this subject, the first 6 weeks of Christ's life. The first 6 weeks of Christ's life. Of course, that would be the first 42 days. All right? And the Bible tells us, and oftentimes we kind of skip this history, and yet God thought it was important enough to recorded in the Word of God what happened during the first 6 weeks of Christ's life. Number one, of course, is the birth of Christ, which I'm just going to be brief with because we've had messages on that in Christmas cantatas and candlelight services, and that's found in verses 1 through 7, which we won't read, but it does say in verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And we talked last Sunday on this verse 7 and the ministry of hospitality. The ministry of hospitality. So we're going to pick up at verse 8 today and try to get through some of these things that happened in the first 42 days of Christ's life. Some of this will be stories. Some of this will be doctrine. Don't be afraid of doctrine, okay? And the rest I want to try to make practical and somehow tie it in to our theme next year. All right, that's what I want to do. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it'd be nice to do all that anyway. Thanks for coming. Good to see all the folks from different churches today, probably in for the holidays or something. I don't want to start introducing you because I'm sure I'd forget somebody, but we're glad to have you with us from out of towners today. And thank you for being here today in the Lord's house. Number one is the birth of Christ, and I want to pick up with that at verse number 8, the wonderful story of the shepherds. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, I'm glad that phrase, all people, is in there, aren't you? That's to us too. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We like to point out, whenever you come across the word Savior, that we need a Savior. Don't try saving yourself. What's the sense of God sending a Savior in the world if you could save yourself? So don't even attempt it. One time Peter asked Jesus, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. You can't save yourself, so quit trying. Some try very sincerely, but they're sincerely wrong. Some try very valiantly. They try to be moral, they try to be good, they try to do good works, they do everything their church says, their pastor says, they participate in the sacraments and baptism and prayers and all kinds of things, hoping they can save themselves. Well, what would be the sense of God sending a Savior for if you could save yourself? We can't save ourselves. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. It's not a reward you earn. It's a gift God gives you. It's free. And I just always try to put this in a message somewhere. It's called the gospel. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, boy, I'm trying my hardest. I want to go to heaven when I die. Quit trying and start today trusting Christ as your Savior. He's the Savior. It says so right here in verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's very simple. It's very clear in the Christmas story. And the angel announces that. And you shall be a sign unto you to the shepherds. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. Now these also were angels, as we can tell by verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels, plural, were gone away. So the heavenly host are angels, and they say, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's peace in the person of Jesus Christ and goodwill toward men. All men is known as war, pretty much, but peace comes in the person of Jesus Christ and goodwill toward men. Aren't you glad God has goodwill toward men? I mean, God has your best in mind by coming. And God loves you, And he wants to save you, and he wants to have goodwill towards you, even as a believer. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Listen, when God shows you something, you need to act upon it. Faith without works is dead. You need to act upon it. And if he gives you light from the Scriptures, act upon it. Now, what was the light from the Scriptures? That there was a Savior born, and the sign would be you're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. So they had a sign. And it came to pass, it says, that they acted upon the light God gave them from the angels. They said, "Let us now go unto heaven." They didn't say, "Well, that's good to know. Thanks for sharing that with us. Let's go back to work. We got sheep to care for." No, they acted upon it, and they came to Christ. I love the verse in Isaiah 55. We're not Calvinists around here, in case you didn't know that. We don't believe man is so totally depraved he can't seek the Lord. Because the Lord himself said in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." He wouldn't tell us to seek the Lord if it wasn't possible. So seek ye the Lord while he may be found. This is still the day when the Lord can be found. God is findable. I said that at the candlelight service. I don't know if that's a real word or not, but I made it up. God is findable. Anyone can find God. Seek the Lord, but then go about beyond that. It says, call upon him while he is near. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so they acted upon the light that they were given them. The shepherds went, and it says they came with haste, verse 16, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I want to encourage you to come to Christ with haste, because you don't know when your last heartbeat will be. You don't know when your last day will be. Come to Christ with haste. That means they said, hurry, let's go find what God showed us. The Scripture says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I cannot find one single portion of Scripture in the Bible, all the times that I've read about it, where God ever says, "Think about it. Think about it for a while. Come sometime in the future." No, you don't know if you have a future. Doesn't matter if we're young or old. I'm not trying to upset anybody, but you never know when your last breath will be. They're counting down for every one of us. Our heartbeats are counting down, and they came with haste, and they found exactly what God said through the angel. They found the babe lying in the manger. They came to Christ. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. So we see here the angels spoke of Christ in verses 10 and 11. And now here we see the shepherds spoke of Christ. And they spoke of Christ as soon as they met him. It says they went down to the manger, they found the Christ child just as God through the angels said they would. And when they left, it says in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The shepherds. Notice that the angels spoke of Christ, the shepherds spoke of Christ immediately. They didn't wait till they finished some soul-winning course. They didn't wait till they read books and got a degree from a Bible college or anything. They immediately started telling people what they had heard and what they had seen and what they had experienced immediately. And that's where this kind of gels into our theme next year of vision and trying to have an emphasis on soul winning and reaching people and baptizing them, teaching them like our Lord said, which is the Great Commission. And so we see that here in the first 42 days of Christ's life, that angels are testifying of him, shepherds are testifying him. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her hearts. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So that's Christmas Day. Now we go 8 days later, verse 22. And number two, we see the circumcising of the child. Now this was according to the Jewish law. We're not under this law today, but Israel had the law of circumcision, which was a covenant between them and their God that started in the days of Abraham. It says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, now notice some doctrine here. His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And so he got his name from an angel who, of course, got his name from God. Angels were just simply messengers of God. Angels, angelos, is a Greek word which means a messenger. And Joseph and Mary had absolutely no say whatsoever in the naming of this child. His name shall be called Jesus. Look back at chapter 1 and verse 31. Here's when it actually happens. Chapter 1 and verse number 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Now, who was the angel? A little trivia here. What was the angel's name? We only have a few of them. Gabriel. So Gabriel named him Jesus because God told him to. But this is significant because Jesus means something. A lot of our names don't mean anything. They were just cute and popular at the time, right? When we were born. Or you get named after a street like I was in Blaisdell. Jesus meant something. You know what it means? It's so important. The word Jesus literally is a transliteration of the word Jehoshua or Joshua in the Old Testament, which means Jehovah, our Savior. Every time you say the name Jesus, you're saying, which appears, I think, over 900 times in the New Testament, it's saying Jehovah, our Savior. Do you understand? His very name means deity. His very name means that he is God, Jehovah, our Savior. His title Lord means God. His title Christ means God. When we say the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying God, God, God. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on this world, received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, there are people that walk around who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses who deny that about Jesus. And yet it's contained in his very name. When you say Jesus, you're saying Jehovah, my Savior. And so that's significant. 8 days old, he's named that. Then notice the third experience in his first 42 days, and that is his presentation at the temple. This begins in verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, you've got to go back to Leviticus 12, which we are not going to do. Leviticus 12 is a short chapter, but it's about the purification offerings of a mother who has a baby. She remains in her purification for 40 days. 33 days if it's a male, 60-some days if it's a female. Then she is to bring her firstborn male, the first son she has, to the temple and present him to the Lord at 42 days old, 6 weeks. And she presents her firstborn male to the Lord. She gives her firstborn male to the Lord, and a presentation is made in the temple. Then she makes two other presentations. She presents a lamb for her burnt offering and another lamb for her sin offering. And there she presents it to the Lord. Now, a little doctrine here, and I'm not trying to unsettle anybody. But there are people who say that Mary was perfect and sinless. The Bible does not say that. The seed that was in her was perfect and sinless, for that was the seed of God. Jesus was not born of Joseph. He was born of God. He was the only begotten Son of God. He's called that four times in the New Testament. Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. Every other person has had a human father, but not Jesus. He was divine. That seed was implanted in the womb of Mary. Now, Mary was a great gal, wonderful woman, very, very righteous, a virgin, very holy woman. But she wasn't perfect, nor did she claim to be. Turn back to chapter 1, Luke 1. By the way, there's more stories for ladies in the book of Luke than any book in the Bible. I call it Luke for Ladies. And so if you ladies are looking to get started in the scriptures, and maybe you're new in the faith and you say, I don't know where to start, read the book of Luke. There's so many stories about wonderful women in there and what God does for them and how much God loves women. Now, Luke's for everybody. It's not just for ladies. Don't get me wrong here. But Mary says in verse 46 of chapter 1, now these are her own words. Please don't get offended. These are her own words. And Mary said, I'm going to quote her, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and this is her words, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, why would she call God her Savior if she didn't need a Savior? And if you'll read Leviticus chapter 12, you will find that the lamb that's presented for the burnt offering and the lamb that is presented for the sin offering in Leviticus 12 was for the mother's sins. Not the child she presents to the Lord. Now, if she could not afford a lamb, then she would buy two turtle doves, which even the poorest people could. And that's what Mary offered. And the Bible says that she offered here a turtle dove. And let us read that. And when the days of her purification, we're back in chapter 2 now, verse 22, were accomplished, 33 days after for the male child, and then the 8 days for the circumcision, to present him to the Lord, as it is written, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. And so that's what she did because she couldn't afford lambs. So I want you to notice there the presentation of Jesus Christ to the Lord somewhere in the first 6 weeks of his life. And then finally, two other things that happen in those first 6 weeks. And number four is the prophecy of Simeon. The prophecy of Simeon. This is very significant what he says. And I want you all to kind of take this into our vision for next year, especially you men and women that are here, but especially the men. Notice it says this beginning at verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, blessed, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, that's quite a discourse here from a man named Simeon. But I want you to notice, why was it that Joseph and the mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him? It's probably because they had never heard a man speak like that before. Back in verse number 25, there's a clue. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem." It doesn't say he was a priest, doesn't say he was a prophet, doesn't say he was a king, doesn't say he was a Pharisee, doesn't say he was a scribe, doesn't say he was a teacher, doesn't say he was a lawyer. It just says there was a man in Jerusalem. Praise God for good, if I can use this word, laymen, who have the Spirit of the Lord all over them. Amen? It just says he was just and devout. He held no office in the temple whatsoever. But do you understand that God can use men, men that are not in the ministry, to be profound witnesses for his son, Jesus Christ? And there's three things about Simeon I want you to notice in regard to his relationship with the Holy Ghost. Number one, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 25, his name was Simeon. The man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. He was just, he was devout, he was a layman in the church or in the temple, if you want to call it. He just loved the Lord. He was devoted to God. He was a just man. He did that which is right. And those are the things that are important if a man is going to be anointed with the Spirit. God fills men with the Spirit who are just and devout and sanctified and set apart unto his service. And you don't have to be in the ministry. You don't have to have some office in the temple. You don't have to have some office in the church to have the Holy Ghost upon you. The Holy Ghost can be upon any man, any boy, any woman. Can a woman be filled with the Spirit? Yeah, it tells us about Elizabeth in this very book. We talk about Luke for Ladies. It talks about how Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, the mother of John the Baptist. Women can be filled with the Spirit. We just need people who are filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit today. You know, we always pray, "Oh God, fill the pastor with your Spirit today as he preaches." That's great. Keep it up. Don't ever stop praying that. But pray for yourself to be filled with the Spirit. And not only was he filled with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit revealed things to him, verse 30, 26. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." That's quite a revelation. I mean, he knew something no one else knew. And you know something? There are things the Holy Spirit will reveal to you personally. I mean, you can get your Bible out at home or on your break at work, carry a New Testament to work or something, break that thing out while you're eating, and the Holy Spirit can show you things and give you a vision for your life. These days of vision are not over. In fact, the scriptures almost seem to indicate that the days of vision are especially pronounced in the last days. When Peter was preaching the great sermon on Pentecost, he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on mine handmaidens I will pour out in those days my Spirit." The pouring out of the Holy Spirit is for girls, it's for boys, it's for handmaidens, it's for men, women, it's for old men. It says your old men shall dream dreams. You're not finished. You're not put on a shelf by God at a certain age. Every one of us can be filled. It's for your sons and daughters. Teach your sons and daughters how to be filled with the Holy Spirit so God can show them. The Bible says John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. And we need to get the churches back to the Holy Ghost and back to where boys and girls and all ages, mothers can be filled like Elizabeth. Agabus, the old disciple, it says, was filled with the Spirit. God can fill old people. You don't have to be in the ministry to be filled with the Spirit. He was anointed with the Spirit. He had a revelation from the Holy Spirit here in verse 26 about the will of God for his life. And then he was led by the Spirit, verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and he had the most glorious divine appointment in his life that day. He held God in his hands. I'm glad he was listening to the Spirit that day. He was led by the Spirit into the temple. You know, you let the Holy Spirit lead you, and you're going to be in church. He's going to lead you into church. He's going to lead you into Bible. He's going to lead you into prayer. He's going to lead your family. He's going to save your marriage. He's going to help you with your kids. Oh, my, we need to rediscover the person of the Holy Ghost and what a man Simeon was. But we got to close here. He spoke of Christ. He held him in his hands. And then he said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. And God will give you a vision for your life. We're talking about vision next year. God has a vision for your life. He has a plan for your life, a will for your life. I might not even know your name, but God knows all about you. And he's got your steps ordered in his word already. Oh, you don't want to miss that for this world. Not this world. This world's not worth missing that for. Then I want you to notice, last of all, the prophecy of Anna. Yes, we've seen today God can use women. I tell you, Luke's for what, ladies. And let's close with this. And there was one Anna, verse 36, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. By the way, Asher was way up north. It was the northernmost tribe. But she's way down south in Jerusalem. I think she just wanted to be where the action was. And if it wasn't happening in Asher, she was going to get down the tribe of Asher. She wanted to get down where it was happening. And if it ain't happening in your family, then you just kind of got to get where it's happening. Maybe it's happening in church or something. And you may have to leave family. Anna, there's a lot of things about her. I don't have time to do her justice today. Great lady, great gal. Notice her, tribe of Asher, great age. She lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. Who knows? Maybe she got young, married when she was young. Her marriage lasted 7 years and he died. And then she was a widow of about 84 years old. She's 84 years old. And notice this description about her. She departed not from the temple, but she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She's what we would call today a church lady. Church lady. There's nothing wrong, ladies, with being a church lady. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, the world may say that in a derogatory way, but that is a compliment. If you're a church lady, that's a compliment. If you're a choir boy, that's a compliment. Rather sing in the choir for God than be out in the rain here with 80,000 whatever in a meaningless football game today. Football's fun, but it's not important. And this lady served God. Say, how can I serve God? You can fast. You can pray. Pray for camp. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer. No power. You can pray for your church. You can pray for a great awakening in our town. There needs to be a great awakening. There's a lot of delusion and just distractions. And I don't blame people for it. They just happen to be born where there's so many distractions now more than ever. Boy, it takes power. It's power from God to break through that stuff. God's saving souls. We had a man baptized this morning, Brother Don, 29 years old. He got saved a month ago. Brother Al Shatner. How many know Al Shatner? That guy's 89. I was out with him yesterday. We had some wonderful visits. Got in people's homes, shared the gospel with people. A guy got close, but he didn't get saved, but we had to just leave. Sometimes you got to leave the seed sown. 89, he led this 29-year-old fella to Christ. And the guy's been so on fire for the last month, and somebody told him, Al told him, you need to be baptized. He said, well, how do I do that? When can I do that? Set up the baptistry. My wife and I went over this morning, watched Patrick get baptized. Brought his mother and sister to watch his baptism, and mom got saved this morning. Amen. God's still saving souls. We praise the Lord for he can save you this morning if you'll ask him. He can save you this morning. Well, we got to close. I didn't do Anna justice, but she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And notice this. Notice what she does. She's 84 years old, just like Al Shatner's 89. Verse 38, notice, and then we'll close. And spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Listen, if you're old, you're not washed up. You can still be a soul winner. You can still speak of him to all that look for redemption. There are some looking for redemption still. Not a lot, but there's some seekers out there. And you can point them to Christ, and Anna did. Did you notice the pattern? The angel spake of Christ. The shepherd spoke of Christ. Simeon spoke of Christ. Anna spoke of Christ. All in the first 42 days. And that's our vision for next year. Let's speak of Christ more and ourselves less and see what God will do. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we pray for your blessing now upon our theme for next year, and that I personally would have more of a burden for souls, make more efforts. Lord, that we give out more tracts and hangers and personal one-on-one witness and be able to lead people to Christ. Father, we pray now for anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that, Lord, this might be the morning they'd open their hearts to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and the piano begins to play an invitation song softly, if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible never says wait. Maybe you've waited long enough and you need to call on Christ and trust in him as your Savior. Won't you do that this morning? Maybe as believers in Christ, while we're having an invitation, we've seen angels and shepherds today, unknown, obscure shepherds, and a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He wasn't in the ministry, but he knew the Holy Ghost. Boy, how God used him. Maybe some of you would want to come again and again and again and say, God, I want to ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. If you as a believer in Jesus Christ have that need today, won't you just maybe stand to your feet right where you are, excuse yourself, come to the altar and pray that God would fill you with his Holy Spirit, that you could be a witness for the Lord and lead many people to Christ and sow the seed of the Word of God while these are coming. Pray for our vision next year. Pray for our church next year. Some of you are from other churches, whatever. If you want to come, pray for your church. It'd be a great thing to do. But if you're here today and you're not saved, and right where you're sitting, I want to encourage you to call on Christ. For the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to be saved from our sins. If we die without Christ and die in our sin, what a horrible place of all eternity in hell is reserved for those who have offended God by rejecting his Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, or neglecting him. So whether you're young or old, if you've never been saved, would you please believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sins, for you personally? He shed his blood to wash away all your sins. Listen, if Mary needed a Savior, you do too. So do I. Maybe you've been very good, maybe you've been very bad, and you think I'm too bad for God. There's no such thing. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. Right where you're sitting, I want to encourage you then to pray this prayer. But don't trust in this prayer like it's some magic. pray this prayer from your heart in obedience to the commandment to call upon the name of the Lord. It's the person you're praying to, not the prayer, that saves you. Right where you're sitting, just bow your head and your heart before God and just say something like this: Dear Heavenly Father, I ask your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into my heart and be my Savior. Father, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins and shed his blood to wash away my sins. I am sorry for my sins. Lord Jesus, I believe in your resurrection from the dead. Please have mercy on me. Save me. Please give me the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe somebody got that settled today, and God knows your heart, you meant it. I don't know your heart. But I wonder if there's anybody that raised your hand and said, God knows my heart today. While you prayed, I prayed, I asked Jesus Christ to save me this morning, and I meant it. Could you just raise your hand real quick and then take it down? Let me know if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you do that right now? Raise your hand up. Take it down. God knows my heart. I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message. In those first 42 days of your life on earth, we're just filled with witnessing angels and shepherds and Simeon and Anna. Help us to be like Anna, who just spoke of Christ to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Lord, we pray next year would be more, much more of an emphasis on having a vision for the lost. And now, Lord, we're asking for your blessing on our meal and our fellowship this morning downstairs. And we're thanking you for the food, and thanking you for those who served us down there and getting it ready for us. Help us, Lord, that this New Year's would be a great one with thee. And Lord, we wouldn't mind if it was interrupted by the second advent of your Son, Jesus. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But if not, give us grace for this next year to reach a lot of souls for thee. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. They're probably ready for us downstairs. I don't know how it works. There's probably tables set up and probably